Hare Krishna. My Lakshmi Prabhu was supposed to give class, but she's a little bit, she's sick. So I asked several devotees, but it was so short notice, so some other, I ended up here. So I would like to ask all the devotees for their blessings. Yes, please. I will try and say something which will inspire myself. You don't need inspiration. It's just water. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Creation of the Fourth Order. Part 2, chapters 20 to 31, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter number 30, text number 12. I'll first read the word by word. Please repeat. Bhavita Vishrutaha Putraha Anavamaha Brahmanaha Gunai Yaha Etam Atmavirena Trilokim Purayishyati Bhavita Vishruta Putro Navamo Brahmano Gunai Ya Etam Atmavirena Trilokim Puruyishyati Bhavita. There will be Vishrutaha, very famous Putraha, son Anavamaha, not inferior Brahmanaha, to Lord Brahma Gunai, by qualifications, yaha, who, etam, all this, atmavirena, by his progeny, trilokim, the three worlds, puruyeshyati, will fill. Translation: you will have a nice son who will be in no way inferior to Lord Brahma. Consequently, he will be very famous all over the universe, and the sons and grandsons generated by him will fill the three worlds. Purport: as explained in the next verse, the Prachetas will marry the daughter of the great sage Khandu. It is suggested that the son's name will be Vishruta, and that he will glorify both his father and mother because of his good character. In fact, he would be greater than Lord Brahma. The great politician Chanakya said that if there is a good tree within a garden or forest, its flowers will fill the forest with their fragrance. Similarly, a good son within a family makes the whole family famous all over the world. Krishna took birth in the family of the Yadus, and consequently the Yadu dynasty is famous all over the world. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganangana Silakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupaka Namayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganatam Rakunatam Vitam Tam Shajivam Sadhetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Panan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakans Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadhar Sarvasadi Ghor Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhavita Vishuta Putro Navamo Brahmano Gunai Ya Itam Atma Viryena Trilokim Puru Yishyati. So, go to the Sanskrit. Vishruta, very famous. Putra means son. Anavama, not inferior. Brahmanaha, to Lord Brahma. Gunai, by the qualifications. Atma Viryena. So, Virya means also like strength. It has many meanings. So, Atma means self. So the strength from himself, here translated by his progeny. Trilokim, the three worlds, Puru Yishati, he will fill. So this is spoken by Lord Vishnu, who gave darshan to the Prachetas, because they meditated so nicely. And like Gopahari explained, not only because they meditated so nicely, but also because they were cooperating so nicely. I'll just read a little bit from the previous verses. My dear sons of the king, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. So this is very special quality of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Usually it's given at the end of the chapter. Here it's given at the beginning of the chapter. There's special benediction. There's special good karma. Well, can't really say karma, but special mercy by reading this Bhagavatam, by reciting it and by reading it. So here is a special benediction given by Lord Krishna or by Lord Vishnu, that if you remember every evening of every day, if you remember the Prachetas, then we will become friendly with our brothers and with all other living entities. So if we have some problems being not so friendly, then we can just every evening, says here the evening, we should remember how the Prachetas were in the middle of the ocean, right? And they were meditating by this mantra of Lord Shiva on Lord Vishnu. Then text number 10. Those who will offer me the prayers composed by Lord Shiva, both in the morning and in the evening, will be giving benedictions by me. In this way, they can both fulfill their desires and attain good intelligence. Anyone remember what the prayers of Lord Shiva were? Anyway, you can just chant Hare Krishna, I guess. But that's important that we, in the morning and in the evening, that we offer prayers. And by this we can fulfill all our desires and attain good intelligence. I think Prabhupada, he mentioned to Shruta Kirti that if you go to Mongol Arctic every day for, I think it was 11 years, everything you say will be perfect. So this is kind of a challenge. I guess if you miss one, you have to start all over again. I don't know how it works. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So I'll read text 11. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the orders of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Yeah, so just to recap a little bit, their father was King Prachini Bharhi, and he was in this whole discussion with Narada Muni, and he kind of took sannyas, or varnaprastha as you like, and he kind of left. And usually you ride back for lunch, but with him it was, I'm not coming back. He just left the kingdom, not just his home, but the kingdom. And I don't know actually what what was going on, because there was no one there. There was just a little note for his sons, and I don't know who stepped in. But at the moment there's nobody, because the king already left, and here the brothers, they get the darshan of Lord Vishnu. But they are bound to rule the kingdom. So what I was wondering here, it says you will have a nice son who will be in no way inferior to Lord Brahma. But there were like how many prachetas? 7? Anyway, there was more than one, right? Huh? Yes. So I don't exactly understand, because it says here putraha, son. Consequently, he will be very famous all over the universe, and the sons and grandsons generated by him will fill the 3 worlds. Yeah, so probably we all know there's 3 planetary systems, lower, middle, that's where we are, and higher. Like the moon and the sun are considered higher planetary systems. And then you have also like the hellish planets, they're considered lower planetary systems. So here Prabhupada explains that the Prachetas will marry the daughter of the great sage Kandu. It is suggested that the son's name will be Vishruta. Yeah, Vishruta means very famous. So here Prabhupada suggests that the son's name will be Vishruta. And that he will glorify both his father and mother because of his good character. In fact, he would be greater than Lord Brahma. The great politician Chanakya said that if there is a good tree within a garden or forest, its flowers will fill the forest with their fragrance. Similarly, a good son within a family makes the whole family famous all over the world. Krishna took birth in the family of the Yadus, and consequently the Yadus dynasty is famous all over the world. So one thing that might come to mind is, of course, Srila Prabhupada. He's like the good son of Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami. And he, in fact, made Krishna consciousness very famous, and the whole Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya also. I'm sitting now on the so-called the hot seat, you say. So I have to preach a little bit to you, please don't mind. So we have to try also to become good sons or grandsons of Srila Prabhupada. Because I think the opposite also is true. If there is a bad son, then it will also spoil the whole tree. Like if there's if you have apples and there's one rotten apple and you don't take it out, then it spoils all of the apples. So I don't want to say that immediately all the rotten apples we should kick them out, because Prabhupada said that's not our policy. We should try to. It's an example. So examples are as good as they have the similarities. So it's not completely similar, because once apple is rotten, it can't be unrotten. But with us, it's different. You know, we are in one sense little bit like rotten, especially if I speak for myself. I'm from Amsterdam. It's kind of a fallen city, you know, like sex and drugs. It's kind of a religion there. So, but you know, by Krishna's mercy, by Prabhupada's mercy, by the devotee's mercy, more loud. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. But you know, by the process is working, by the mercy of the devotees. They've been very kind to me and very tolerant. I practically even more close. Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna. so it is working. You see, the devotees are very merciful. They help you all the time. It's very nice. You know, for instance, because people might think, well, what do you mean it's working? Are you kidding me? But, you know, I used to smoke, so I'm not smoking anymore. So that's definitely working. When I was quite young, I used to eat meat. When I was like, my grandfather was a horse butcher. So... It's actually quite a funny story. That he would I don't know if there's any businessmen here, but I'll tell it anyway. He would sit at the border of Denmark, and then he would buy the horses. And any horse that was bad, he would send it back. So in this way, he became very successful. And he had many, many butchers all over Amsterdam. And then when he retired, he sold all of them, except for one, which was near the red light district, near the prostitutes, because that was his best shop. Because all the prostitutes, they always bought like the best meat. Anyway, this is how fallen the city is. I came across Prabhupada's books, and I read that you shouldn't eat meat, you shouldn't eat fish, and you shouldn't eat eggs. Prabhupada explained what I remembered in those days, that these are living entities, and you shouldn't kill them unnecessarily. So, some other, after a few months, I told my family, I don't want to eat meat anymore, I don't want to eat fish, and I even don't want to eat eggs. And of course, in those days, I thought I figured it out myself, that it was my own realization. And much, much later, actually, when I became a devotee, I sort of went back and I thought, oh, I had a few books. And because the egg thing, it's kind of special. There's not many vegetarians that don't eat eggs. So then I was thinking, probably I read a book by Srila Prabhupada, and that's how I did it. And of course, it was a big thing in my family because, you know, they had to, you know, cook separately, and it was kind of a thing. But so already by Prabhupada's mercy, I started to become vegetarian at quite a young age, at least for Amsterdam standards. Unfortunately, at that age also I started smoking, so that was not so nice. And I started to do yoga and, scenes, you know, smoking marijuana is considered spiritual, so it took me a long time to give it up. I was studying philosophy in my school, and I did scripture about Plato and the Bhagavad Gita, and I even remember that I stopped reading Prabhupada's purports because they were, in my, you know, vision, they were so heavy. I really couldn't handle it, and I was sort of like, well, you know, Prabhupada, he doesn't know, you know, let me just read the translations. And then later, of course, I started more and more reading them, and then actually I went to buy toothpaste because I wanted to have vegetarian toothpaste. And every week I came back because they didn't have it. They said, no, we'll have it next week. So every week I came, so do you have already the toothpaste? No, we're going to order it. You know, you know, it goes in ISKCON. So then, you know, I got so much association of the devotees. And then finally, one of the devotees, I think it was Bhakta Johnny, sort of thought like, this guy could actually join. So they started to, as they say in America, they turned it up a notch. And they really started to preach to me. Jagadananda also, and so they gave me this book, A Second Chance, and very appropriate. And I might as well finish the story. So what happened is that I was reading this Ajamil story, and I think most of us know it. It's about this brahmachari, and he fell down due to a bad association, and he became kind of a criminal. He married a prostitute, and he wasn't very a good person. But at the end of his life, he screamed out the name of his son, Narayan, and a whole discussion ensued between the Yamadutas, the servant of the king of death, or the king of hell, Yamaraj, and the Vishnudutas, the servant of Lord Vishnu. And the Yamadutas said, look, you know, we got to take this guy, he's very, very sinful. And Vishnudutta said, no, there's an exception on the rule that he chanted Lord Vishnu's name, and we are sent by Lord Vishnu, you cannot take him. So so finally there was a discussion, and finally the Yamadutas, they had to go back, and they didn't take him. And it's not so much clear, at least when I read it from the second chance, that he actually went to the Himalayas and he started to meditate. When I read it, I sort of gathered that he went back immediately. So that's what I thought. I thought, wow, this is really good, you know, I can just keep smoking and drinking, and at the end of my life I'll just chant Hare Krishna, and you know, I'll go back to Krishna. It's really good. I don't have to do anything. And just when I was thinking that, and I was rolling my next joint while reading this book, Prabhupada, I was actually, Prabhupada was saying in the book, he said, this is the greatest offense if you think that. You know, so then I thought, oh my God, I have to join, you know, because I can never stop smoking by myself. And that's actually what I did. I actually surrendered right there, and it was really hard. I actually took a lot of prasadam. This is how I stopped smoking, because that was really difficult for me. I mean, that I just ate so much that I basically walked out of the temple sick. Because usually when you eat, then after the eating you want to smoke. This is the worst time for stopping. So I ate so much that I was actually feeling sick, and I couldn't smoke. So this is how I did it for a week. Of course, also Dharma Ksetra, he helped me. He used to serve me prasadam. And in those days, the devotees already taught me a few things, that you should never refuse prasadam. So Dharma Ksetra, he kind of knew that I knew that. And he kind of teased me, so he was going like with the halva, you know, giving prasadam. And you know, I didn't know this yet. So he would pile it up until Mother Jabandra said, stop it, can't you see he's not refusing the prasadam? He said, but it's prasadam, you have to. So, you know, I lived this mountain of prasadam. And of course, in those days, it was very strict. You could never throw away prasadam. And, I mean, it was really a no-no. So I had to eat all the prasadam. And this was repeated a few times by Dharma Ksetra Prabhu. So by his mercy, I stumbled out of the temple. And after a week or two, I actually joined. And so, you know, it just gives an example that actually the process does work. And I have changed quite a bit. Even if I look at the beginning, when I was joining, I went through a few things. I went actually through three Bhakta programs. I feel very proud that I've done three Bhakta programs successfully. One informal one with Dharma Ksetra Prabhu. I was already in the bus because I was such I still am, I guess. I was such a puffed up bhakta that after a few months, Jagatanatma, he just he didn't know what to do with me, so he put me in the van to go to the bhakta program with Radha's Bhakta Rick was there. But then Dharma Ksetra, he was like, no, this is not going to happen, you know, we're going to lose our bhakta. So he pulled me out of the van, and he said, no, I will train him up. So, you know, and he trained me up, basically. He was quite a heavy teacher. He always used to recite the verse Tatvidi Pranipatana, because you know you should approach a spiritual master, because he was already initiated, and because I was so puffed up, he was like, "Look, have you already learned this verse? I have realized this verse because I took initiation." So like that, he was trying to smash me. He was not very successful because I was very puffed up, but he was trying his best. And of course, after 1 or 2 years, they still put me in the Bhakta program with the Premasiddhi Ananda. And he was very, very heavy, which was very good, actually. And he helped me a lot. I'm very thankful to him. And then I even had a third Bhakta program, because I remember Mahaprabhu, he was then temple president, and he went to India, and Gauranga Premanandi was the vice president. And I don't know, there was some problem between me and a devotee, I won't mention his name. Just now we hooked up on Facebook, so it seems that everything seems to smooth out even there. Actually, I can tell you, it's Bhakta Max. You most of you know him, he made these plays. I kind of fallen out with him. So Gauranga, he suggested I should just go to India. So I thought, okay. So he paid my ticket to India. So I met Mahaprabhu there in the Holy Dham in Mayapur, in the reception with Gangadhar, and he was like, what are you doing here? I was like, well, Gauranga, you sent me, you know, so I'm here. He said, you know, and he became very, very angry. And then he and Gangadhar decided I should go to Dhanavir Goswami, to the Rupa Nuga Veda College, which was coined by Kadama Kanmaraj at that time as Hare Krishna boot camp. Because it was very, very strict. Everybody knew that. So I thought, well, okay, you know, pay me another ticket. So there I went, June to Kansas, and I did it 3 months. It was a little bit tough for me, but I'm very happy I did it because I ended up having a very good friend, Dhammakarta Prabhu. He was also there, and he was also a little bit struggling. He was going out alone on Sankirtan in a van, and we became very good friends. So, you know, I'm very, very lucky and happy that I actually went, although it was, at that time, it was very, really hard for me. So, like that, the process, I mean, you do have to be a little bit humble, because it wasn't so easy for me to, well, like, you know, I mean, although they're very nice devotees, you know, like I said, I have a big ego, so with Dharmakshetra, it was really tough for me, really hard for me to tolerate him. Then with Prema City, also, it was very, very tough for me. In Kansas City, I mean, I was like counting how many times I had to say Vrindai Tulasa Devyai Priyai Keshavasacha. I was actually counting how many times I had to say it. So you have to say it like 3 times, or actually 6 times, 3 times before. I was counting that, like it was 70 days, and then I was counting like 3 times 70, you know, 210. I have to say this 210 more times. So that was how tough it was for me. I was counting everything. So it was really tough for me. And at the end, actually, Dhanavir Maharaj, he was quite happy with me. And he asked me if I wanted to stay. I said, oh, thank you, Maharaj. So, you know, I went back to Amsterdam. But, you know, I'm just saying that you have to be a little bit humble. You know, later, I don't want to get into that, because that is a whole mess what happened after that, because ultimately I did not become humble, and then Maya had to sort of smash me, which is not, I cannot recommend it. It's better that you have the devotee smash you, or train you, I should say. But it to me, it feels like smashing, you know, but it's actually, the devotees are very kind, they're training. But you try to be a little bit humble. You know, there's many books about humility. Burijan speaks about it. One of the things that Prabhupada used to say, this is one of the things I really like about Srila Prabhupada, that he is a very kind of down-to-earth person when it comes down to certain things. One of the things he said about being humble, he said, just be humble. Yeah, you know, we can over, how do you say it, overthink things. But humble means just be humble. Just say, yes, Prabhu, you know. Like another example of Prabhupada's down-to-earth, that sometimes he would say about a devotee, but Prabhupada would just say, yeah, he's crazy. You know, like some New Age people, they might say, well, you know, this, that, and they make a whole story. Prabhupada would just say, he's crazy, you know. He would just like that, down-to-earth, you know. Of course, he was very merciful, would say we should try to help him and this and that, but he wouldn't make a whole psychological analysis. He would just say he's crazy. So similarly with this, we should just try to be humble. We should not, that's the word I was looking for, we should not overanalyze it. We should just try to be humble. We can go into it deeper, like for instance, what I like about this verse, Tanada Pishanichana, is about this tree, Tarora Pishishana. Actually, it's maybe a little bit appropriate, because we're also here, Prabhupada is giving the example of a tree. Another feature of the tree is that the more heavy the fruits are, the more the branches go down, and then the more people will pluck the fruits, or a bird will come and he will start chipping away at the fruit, and the tree doesn't do anything. So in other words, the more qualities you obtain, the more you will be tested, the more people will start kicking you, and the solution is to become more humble. Manohari gave the example that if you have a football and it's in the middle of the room, generally, like Ramananda Roy and me, we like football, generally anybody who likes football will kick that ball. And even if it's like a little bit puffed up, still you'll think, I'll give it one kick, you know. And he says, even if it's in the corner, still you might go there and give it a kick. But he says, if it's completely flat, in other words, if it's completely not puffed up, you'll probably walk around it, and you don't really bother it. So that is the idea. The more humble we become, the less people will bother us. But then, like I said, this is a thing with the devotee, that the more humble we become, the more fruits we'll get, the more advance we'll get, the more service we'll get. So it's a constant kind of struggle to be humble and to have the qualities. Even Srila Prabhupada, we were just reading yesterday that he was apologizing to all of his godbrothers. He said, you know, I had a Bhagavatam in my one hand and a club in the other hand, and this is how I was preaching. So, and of course we're in Prabhupada's line, and we've had many swamis in the past that used to preach like that, and still some of them are preaching like that. But at the same time, we also have to be a little bit careful. Like we were discussing with Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj, that it was mentioned by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj that he was very, very pure. So that is why he was able to do it. So if we want to preach very, very heavy, we should be very, very pure. And one of the qualities of the acharyas, because sometimes it is said that the acharyas or the pure devotees, they never fall down. Of course we know from Prabhupada, from Bhagavatam, that you can actually fall down. The example of course is given of Jayam Vijay. But Prabhupada says every one of us came from the spiritual world. But the reason, as far as I understand, that these acharyas do not fall down is because they're so humble. Like if you look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, he's so humble. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, I'm a worm in stool. So, I mean, this is like such an exalted acharya. And I think Prabhupada mentions that it's not exaggerated. He actually feels like that. And Prabhupada also, he was, because that was what was mentioned, that the Mahabhagavat, he goes to the second class devotee, to the Majjam platform, and then he preaches. And it was mentioned by Satsvarupa Goswami that when he was leaving his body, they could see this quality of Mahabhagavat, of first class devotee, because Prabhupada was so humble, and he was saying, I'm very, very fallen, and he was apologizing. So it just goes as an example, you know, even though, because of course all his godbrothers say, no, you didn't make any mistake, and which is of course the appropriate thing to say, and like that it's kind of a lila. But it is, in one sense, it is appropriate for them to say that it's, you know, it's not true and he didn't make an offense. At the same time, you could say it's also appropriate for Prabhupada to do apologize. It's just, in Holland we have this word, inherent. It's sort of imbibed in the heart of a devotee that he feels like that. And that is why he never falls down. Like Prabhupada used to say that when he would go to life members, he would pray to Krishna that please protect me, because they were considered like worldly persons. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he wouldn't see this king. He said, no, I will not see him. Even though devotees knew he was a very advanced devotee, this king, still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see him. He says, no, he's a worldly man. And I think only after he sort of stripped down of his royal things, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him to see him, because the king visited him, right? Anybody remembers? Yeah, so then finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sort of relented, is that the word? He relented and he saw him. But because this is another thing that I like to mention, that Prabhupada says that my devotees are not enough afraid for Maya, and I'm sorry to say, but this especially goes for the Gurukulis, because I work with Rishabh, you see, and this is what I told them yesterday, because you know, because we're talking with Vishnumurti, and he said, you don't even know how to bloop to Rishabh, you know, because I know immediately what to do. I would go to some bar here, and you know, it would be very, very easy program. But for Rishabh, he is no attraction for these kind of things. So, but that also means that he doesn't really know what it is, because I've been there. I've been in Amsterdam, I've been in the clubs, I've seen the fights, I've seen the broken glasses, and I've seen myself laying on the street, sleeping in the middle of the street, you know, on the road where cars actually drive at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, so I know where it can lead to. Like, I had this one friend, and his mother used to use so many drugs, like especially marijuana, and he would never smoke. He would never smoke because he knew, he saw his mother, and he was very careful not to do it. So, you know, sometimes we have to be a little bit extra careful, because Maya is very, very tricky. It starts with a little bit, and then like that, and before we know it, we end up in a situation where really we don't want to be, and then it might become difficult. So all of us, we just have to be very, very careful for Maya. And I was very inspired actually by this quote from Burijan, from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, because I never really understood it. I'll tell you honestly, just a few days ago, I took my shoe and I punched my head about 100 times. I thought, maybe that, it works. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he explained it very nicely, what actually should be done. Although, I don't, it's not that I won't recommend it. I don't think it's bad to do that. Because, whatever makes us humble is good. But the real thing that we should tell our mind is that we should not become falsely proud, and we should not criticize devotees. And why do we criticize devotees? Or why do I criticize devotees? Because I think I'm better. So that means I'm proud. So if you're humble, then you think, I'm very, very rotten, fallen. And then automatically, I will not be so inclined to criticize devotees, because I think I'm very unqualified. So that humility we should obtain. And Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that in the morning we should tell our mind that 100 times. And perhaps therefore also it's good I told this whole story about my so-called previous life, or my devotional career, that we should remind ourselves of our mistakes that we made through our life. And if that's too difficult, we can try and remember previous lives. Because of course it's glorious, we're in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, and we were just reading Bhagavad Gita the other day, and it was mentioned that all the demigods, they were watching Guru Kshetra because Krishna was there. So we can kind of interpolate, is that the word? That the demigods are also watching us, because Krishna is here also. And it's a Sangharta movement, he's here in his holy name. So the demigods are also watching us. So we should all the more reason for us to become very serious and remember where we came from, because even in the best case scenario, we are fallen demigods. So our position is in that sense, like I said, although it's very glorious that we are in Sankirtan movement, at the same time, being a demigod, from a kind of a material point of view, like you have the mode of tamas, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, it's a much better position. Like generally, this earth is considered mode of passion. If you're in the mode of passion, you will take birth again here as a human being. If you degrade yourself, like Prabhupada says, cats and dog life, you will become a cat or a dog, or go to a lower planet, or become like a ghost. And if you're in the mode of goodness, you'll go to the higher planets. So we should understand our predicament, and we should understand also what is the greatest danger of human life. The greatest danger of human life is to fall back in the animal form of life. That's the greatest danger. So we should understand our position, that we are actually fallen, and that we can go back, we can go up by the mercy of the devotees, and it's a chain. And and this is then the last thing I'll say, that we must respect that senior Vaishnav etiquette. like Yudhisthira, he was going to Bhishma. He was on the other side and he was asking him, please, I am going to fight against you. Please give me your blessings. So we can never ever transgress this etiquette. We should always try to be polite and ask for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, no matter what. I don't want to get into the details now, but if you like, we can discuss it more. But that is just a general rule. We have to follow this etiquette. Prabhupada says disciple means discipline, and if there is no, if we're not obedient, then how there can be discipline, how there can be discipleship? Like it was mentioned by Gopinath Acharya, that we should become more concerned about discipleship than about guru. There's so much talk about guru, so we should more talk about what is it to be discipleship. Vishnumurti, he was doing all these pages about Prabhupada, about how he was seeing his guru, and then you can just see how humble Srila Prabhupada is towards his guru. Prabhupada is the perfect disciple. A perfect disciple can become the perfect guru. So we should try to focus on this discipleship and try and get the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas. Prabhupada says they have gone there by a spiritual process. So we should think like that. Not a blade of grass moves without the blessings of Lord Krishna. So everything that is there, like Rupa Goswami, he was respecting the Muslim ruler. So like that, we have to understand that system. Okay, I'll stop there. Sorry, I went on a little bit longer. I was just thinking, let me just keep talking, because otherwise I run out of steam, so I went a little bit over time. My apologies for that. Is there maybe any question or comment? Please. Yes. What's that verse? What's the translation? Loss. Yes, there's no loss nor diminution. And then? That is the power of Maya. We think this is permanent, but it can change any second. Any second. Padam, padam, yad vipadam. There's danger at every step. We should end on a high note. Anyway, the high note is, like you say, there's no diminution. So even though devotees are maybe a little bit on the outside, there's no diminution. They'll come back. They'll come back. It's a very powerful process. So we should have faith in the process. Yes? Though I immediately think that we shouldn't wait for the last minute. we should, if we think we need to apologize, better to apologize. But anyway, I just wanted to mention this last thing, because it speaks here about good sons, so that means there's also bad sons. But we should also try to be merciful to the so-called bad sons and think that there's no diminution, that some other they'll come back, and try to get them back also. Anyway, I should stop. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.